So we're doing the riff on Masechet Megillah. And we'll begin with Taf Alef Amud Alef. So the riff says like this. Megillah Nikret, he's quoting the Mishnah. Potentially, the Megillah, Megillah's Esther, can be read Bechadasah, the 11th of the month of Adar. We know that Purim is generally on the 14th, except for the cities that have walls surrounding them from the times of Yoshua bin Nun, they read on the 15th. So the Mishnah teaches us that potentially there can be instances where the Megillah will be read on the 11th, B'Shnemasa on the 12th of Adar, B'Shloshasa on the 13th, which was the day we fought the war, Baal Ba'asa on the 14th of Adar, which is when we rested after the war, and that's when they instituted Purim, B'Chamishasa on the 15th, and we know that like Yerushalayim, they read on the 15th. So these are the potential dates when the Megillah can be read, Lo pachot, not less than the number 11, velo yoter, and not more than the number 15. Meaning it cannot potentially be read on the 16th. Kerachim, cities, hamukafin choma, that are surrounded by a wall, mimot Yoshua binun, from the days of Yoshua binun, korin b'chamishasa, they read on the 15th. Kefarim b'ayrot gdolot, the villages and the large cities, korin b'arbasa, they read on the 14th. Ela, but how do we get the other dates? Shakfarim makdimim liyom haknisam, that the villages, Chazal permitted them to proceed with reading the Megillah to the day when they enter the big cities. Meaning the small villages would come into the big cities on Monday and Thursday. So if Purim would fall out on... why would they come in? That was market day. And that was the day that the courts convened. So they used to take care of all their needs. They'd come and sell their goods. And they'd have a market on Monday and Thursday. So the Mishnah is going to explain. Keta, how does this work? Chaliot basheni, if the 14th, if Purim falls out on a Monday, kefarim ba'erot dolot koim bayom. So then the villages, together with the big cities, will read on Monday. Because that's the day Purim falls out, and that's the day they're coming into the city. Umukafin choma lemachar, and the cities that are surrounded by a wall, well, they read on the 15th, so they'll read the next day. Chaliot bashlishi uvarvii, let's say Purim falls out on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, that's when the 14th of Adar falls out. So then kefarim, the small villages, makdimin liyom haknisa, they were given special permission by the rabbis to read earlier on the market day when they enter the big cities, which is on Monday. So the big city gives them a Baal Kori to read, but the big city reads on the right date. They don't have to go earlier. It's just the villages. They don't have a Baal Kori. They don't know how to read in the Torah. Who's going to read the Megillah for them? So the Chazal said, you're coming into market day anyway. We won't make you come in twice for Purim. So they read on Monday. Kfarim makdimin liyom haknisa. The villages would... I don't know. Chazal made a special kula for them. This was part of the original institution. When Esther and the rabbis instituted Purim, they instituted potential for this leniency, and so when it was necessary, it was instituted. What? Chaliot bashishu varvii. So we said if the day of Purim fell out on a Monday or on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, kiparim makdimin liyom haknisa, the villages would proceed to the day of entrance of the Monday. Merot dolot korin bavayom, the big cities read on the day of Purim, mukafin chomal lemachar, and the walled cities would read the next day. Chaliot b'chamishi, let's say Purim fell out on a Thursday, kfarim merot dolot korin bavayom, so then the villages read together with the big cities on that day, mukafin chomal lemachar, and the walled cities read on Friday, the next day. Chaliot b'erev Shabbat, if Purim falls out on a Friday, kfarim makdimin liyom haknisa, so then the villages proceed and read on Thursday, the day they enter the city anyways. Now the walled cities, they can't read on Shabbos. Chazal forbade reading the Megillah on Shabbos. So they said the walled cities will read together with the regular cities on Friday. Chaliot b'Shabbat, if Purim falls out on a Shabbos, the 14th falls out on Shabbos. So then the cities, they can't read on Shabbos. So what do? Chazal said, "Kfarim va'erot olot makdimin liyom haknisa." They go back to Thursday, just like the villages. Once they're not reading on their set day, So Chazal said, instead of making the Friday Purim, go back to Thursday together with the villages. And the walled cities, well, they go like they should. They read it the next day on Sunday. Chaliot be'chad b'shevat. You want to join us?
I'm not sure.
Okay. When you get sure, let us know. If you want to, you're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
On Sunday, because that's their day, the 15th, right? There's a big gap. Chaliot bechad b'shabbat. Firm, huh? Chazal quoted a pasuk to indicate that we have the potential to do this. What? Where from? From the Megillah, from Megillah's Esther. We didn't see it in the Mishnah, in the Gemara. Chazal asked, where is the source for all this? We'll see. We're still doing the Mishnah here. This is all the Mishnah. Chaliot ve'echad b'shabbat. If the 14th, the Purim fell. Yeah. Chaliot ve'echad b'shabbat. If Purim falls out on Sunday. Farim makdimili yom haknisa. So the villages, they go back to Thursday, which is when? That's the 11th, right? If the 14th is Sunday, so then Thursday is going to be the 11th. So that's how... No. That little circle indicates, and on the side you have Daf Resh Nun Zayin. That's an indication in the old printings of the Rif. What page was it on? In case you learn a manuscript that quotes from the Rif, and it quotes on the based on the versions that they had, in the old versions, the old manuscripts of the Rif, so they did us a favor in the new versions of the Rif. They write down what page everything was in the old manuscripts. Chaliot bechad b'shabbat. If Purim falls out on a Sunday, kfarim makdimini yom haknisa. The villages will proceed to the Thursday, to their day that they would come into town. Vayirot dolot koin b'vayom. The big cities, will they read on Sunday, on the day of Purim? Umukafin chomal lemachar. And the cities that are encompassed by, with a wall, they read tomorrow on Monday. Good question. Good question. Chazal derived it that this was the way they want to institute it. Megillah Nikret, our Mishnah said that potentially the Megillah could be read on multiple dates. Hecha Remiza, where is this concept alluded to in the Megillah? Amar Rav Shemin Baraba, the pasuk says, "Lekayem et yemei haPurim ha'ele bizman nehem," to fulfill these days of Purim in their multiple times. Zmanim arbe tiknu lehem chachamim. Our sages instituted many times. Ve'im arbe sa v'chameisa. Maybe the verse means the 14th and the 15th. We know that there are two dates. Maybe that's what the verse means. Im ken lemakra zmanam, mai zman nehem, shma mina harbe. Maybe it's including another two, the 12th and 13th.
Why?
You're telling me it's going to encompass multiple dates. Zmanim halbe, more than these two dates, you'll add another two. So maybe add the 12th and 13th. How do you know the 11th?
Why the 12th and 13th?
Well, basically, if you're going to add 2 days, add the closest 2 days.
We are excluding the 11th.
Right. Meaning, you're telling me that you have a drasha. So the drasha, the Gemara understands, teaches you 2 more days. How do you know? So maybe it should be the 12th and 13th. So the Gemara says, Tleisos man kila lakoli v'lo tzrich ka lerbuye. The 13th was the day everyone gathered for the war. Our miracle happened on the 13th. The fact that you could read the Megillah on the 13th, that doesn't need a pasuk, that's obvious. So you don't need a pasuk for the 13th. So when the pasuk tells you to add 2 more days for potential reading of the Megillah, we say those 2 days are the 11th and 12th. Ve'im ashitza v'shivsa, so maybe it's the 16th and 17th. How do you know to go backwards? Maybe go forwards. Amarka v'lo yavo, the pasuk says don't pass these dates. You have the 14th and 15th plus multiple dates, but don't pass. In the Megillah, Megillah's Esther, it says l'kayem t'yemei haPurim ha'ele b'zmanehem v'lo yavo, and don't pass these days. So you can't pass the 14th and 15th. So if you're going to add 2 days, you go backwards.
Why is it not 11 and 12?
It is. It's 11 and 12. And the 13th, we know because it's obvious, that's the day we won the war. The Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who has many Mishnayot that are Stam Mishnah like him. He is the one that derives this drasha that the Pasuk could have said Zman. It could have said Zmanam. It said Zmanehem to teach me two more days. Aval Chachamim Omrim Bizman Hazeh. Being that nowadays people all figure the day we read Megillah, you count 30 days, that's Pesach. So we could no longer have that leniency. You could only read the Megillah in its set time. What? Huh? Kilomal, Ho'il Venim. Huh? Yeah, so he learns a different chat than what I just said. What I said is Rashi. He explains it differently. Let's continue reading and see how he explains it. Klomar, hoil ve'enem shel aniyim nesuot mikra megila kedei shechalek lehem et maot purim. Being that the poor are always waiting. They know when you read Megillah, people give charity. So they're waiting. When are they going to read Megillah? That's Purim. That's when we're going to get tzedakah. And korinto lebizmana, so Chazal say, okay, so nowadays we no longer give you this leniency. You could only read it at its set time. Because... We as opposed to the 11th or 12th or 13th. Nowadays. Meaning nowadays the Gemara says in our times, in the times of the Talmud already, we no longer allow you to do the leniency of the Mishnah to proceed to the 11th, 12th or 13th because of the poor. The villages have to come in an extra time. They have to come to the big city to hear the Megillah read on its set date because that's when the poor are anticipating their charity.
And just like the people can know when the Megillah will be read, the poor can anticipate their charity.
Right. Meaning when the Megillah was read on the 11th, they would give the charity the Matanot Levyonim on its right time, on the 14th. So the poor would come to Shul with the hopes, oh, they're reading the Megillah today, they'll give us charity, and people didn't give, because it wasn't Purim yet. So Chazal said today that the poor are in anticipation that they'll get their charity. When the Megillah is read, we're no longer giving you this leniency.
When the Megillah was read.
No, they didn't, because they didn't have... no, they just read the Megillah.
Twice?
No, they read the Megillah on the 11th or 12th or 13th, and then celebrated Purim and gave their charity on the 14th.
No, they read the Megillah twice?
It's a good question. Did they read it by night and by day, or just by day? It's a good question. I don't know. Yesh Gosin...
What's the other issue?
Rashi says, "Oilu mistaklimba," is that people calculate based on when they read the Megillah. They figure 30 days later is Pesach. Ordinarily, the Megillah is read on the 14th. So
but the villagers will know when they come into the city of Purim.
So Chazal felt that still people will come to confusion. Don't forget, we're talking about a time when you don't have printed materials, people don't have calendars on the wall, so they have to figure things out by heart. Not everyone's literate. Not everyone knows how to read or count or write. And you're talking about villages that might not even have a minion of Jews. So they have to figure out when Pesach is. You know who's the rabbi when you only have four Jews? The one who knows the most. And he might not even know how to read. He might not even know Shema.
And you have four Jews?
I'm saying if you have a village that's all four people, so who do you ask your halachic shaylos to? To whoever knows best in the village. And he doesn't necessarily know. Chazal said, we see that... things are getting tough. We can't allow this leniency. That's where Rashi learns. V'yesh gosin, says the Rif. V'yesh gosin. Some have the version in the Gemara. Ho'ilu mistaknin ba. Being that they endanger themselves with it. Klomal. Bo'ta et chayu Yisrael ma'amidim tatehim. At the time that the Jews had to uphold their faith. Then bein lidei sakana ayu kohen ota ba'achad sar b'shnei mesav v'shlosha asar, when they could freely uphold their faith and they weren't endangered by it, so our sages permitted them to have more leniency to read on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th. Aval bizman zeh shemistaknin Yisrael b'datehen, but nowadays that we're endangered over our religion and kohen ota l'bizmana, we only read it at its set time. Which is the 14th and 15th. And that's the halacha, you could no longer go earlier. What's the connection? So what if people are endangered? I don't know. I don't know what he means by that. I don't know. I think Chazal basically said if it's a danger, we should minimize the danger to one day and not spread the danger, or 2 days, but not spread it over 5 days. The walled cities from the days of Yeshua bin Nun, they read on the 15th. Where do we know this from? Amar Rav, the Amar Kra, Rav said, because the Pasuk says, Al Kain, Hayudim Aperazim, Hayoshevim Bare Aperazot. Therefore, because of all these miracles, because of everything that happened on Purim, the Jews that live in open cities, they live in cities that are not walled. The Pasuk says, these Jews, Osim et Yom Abasa, they do the day of the 14th, a day of festivities, a day of Yom Tiv, Umideprazim Abasa, and once the Pasuk stresses that those cities that are not walled, they celebrate Purim on the 14th, the Pasuk says, the Jews that live in open cities, they celebrate Purim on the 14th. So, the Pasuk is indicating that if the open cities celebrate on the 14th, Mukafin Choma b'chamishasal, so the walled cities must celebrate on the 15th. V'shushan, in the city of Shushan, the capital where the whole miracle happened, Aval pi she'ina mukefet choma mimot Yoshua binun, even though the walls of Shushan you can't trace them back to the days of Yoshua binun, nonetheless, Korin b'chamishasal, they do read on the 15th, Dichtiv. Because what was the whole idea of giving them the 15th? What was the whole idea of instituting the 15th as a separate holiday? Because the Pasuk says, "Vayudim asher b'Shushan," the Jews of Shushan were given an extra day to fight their enemies. Nikalu b'shlosha asabo, they gathered on the 13th to fight their enemies. Uval ba'asabo, and on the 14th. Venoach b'chamisha asabo, and they could only rest on the 15th. So the city of Shushan is where the miracle happened, that Esther asked another day, and Achshosh granted another day for the cities of Shushan to wipe out their enemies. So if the miracle actually happened in Shushan, that they only came to rest on the 15th, so even though Shushan is not walled from the days of Yoshua bin Nun, in Shushan itself, we read on the 15th. My time, what's the reason? Hoil v'nasa bones, because the miracle was there. In our Gemara,
the question is, what was the definition of who should celebrate on the 15th?
That's a good question, but that's not what he asked. You're asking. So that the Ran says that the reason they worked it this way was to honor Jerusalem. Yerushalayim was destroyed. If they'd be honoring Shushan, they'd say the cities that are walled now, like Shushan, would turn out that Yerushalayim is considered an open city, because right now Yerushalayim was in ruins. So they factored that in, and they said, let's commemorate Yerushalayim. This miracle happened in Chutzlaritz. Let's remember Eretz Yisrael in this case. Ordinarily, we wouldn't even make a holiday over a miracle that happens in Chutzlaritz. So in commemoration of this, of the fact that we were saved, on this day, we will commemorate Israel, we will commemorate Yerushalayim, and we'll institute it the way we find in the Torah that there are dinim that pertain to the holiness of the walls of Israel. And there we say, the walled cities from the time Yeshua bin Nun, they have a special din, but they are a choma, they have a special din regarding the sales of homes within those cities, that Shemitah doesn't apply there. There's a special, that Yovel doesn't apply there. There are special dinim, there's special holiness, you have to send out a mitzorah. So we find in the Torah this concept that we find that Yovel doesn't apply there. There's a din, right? So we find this concept that we give a special status to cities that were walled from the days of Yoshua bin Nun in Israel. So Chazal said, let's adopt that in our institution of the holiday of Purim. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi told us, krach, a city. You have a city that's walled. all the surrounding area, v'chol anireimo, and even the area which can be seen together with that walled city, nidon kikrach, is treated like this walled city, v'korin b'chamishasar, and they too read on the 15th. That's why we read on the 15th out here. We didn't have a wall encompassing us here in Kiryat Moshe in the days of Yeshua bin Nun, but we're close enough to Yerushalayim, we're an extension of the city. We're an extension of an extension.
Who doesn't
read on the 15th? Good question. I don't know the exact. That comma, how far do you take this? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, kemechamta netveya v'haynu mil. Like the distance from the city of Chamtan to the city of Tveria, which is a mil. V'leima mil, why didn't he just tell us a mil? Good question. Wow, you ask great questions. Machlokas Rishonim, what you're saying. V'leima mil, he should have just told us a mil. Hakam Ashlan, this is what he came to teach us. The shiur, the mil, kemechamtan letveria. That the you want to know how much is a mil, so you can evaluate from the city of Chamtan to Tveria. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said another thing.
Where's Shushan?
Shushan, Baghdad. Iraq. That's what they say. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Kach sheyishev v'achar kach hukaf. If you have a city that before Yeshua ben Nun came along, let's say the city of Hebron, or let's say the city of Beit El, or some other city in Israel, Shechem. If the city, Beersheba, if the city first had inhabitants, and only afterwards the wall was built around the city, Nidon. No, after it was inhabited, meaning which came first, the walls or the people? So if the people came first, Nidon Kikvar, we treat it like a village, because in ancient times, you wouldn't come to a place and build a home if you didn't have a wall around yourself to protect you from the engines. You come and build the wall, but you don't build a home before you have protection. The norm in ancient times was you first built walls around the area, and then you built homes. First you have protection, and then you build the homes inside. So he tells us what's the source for this, my time, or what's the source for this concept that if first people sat down in homes, they built homes, and only afterwards they built the wall. We don't treat it like a walled city, that's like a village, because the pasuk says, "Ve'ish kim ko beit moshav yilchoma." A person who sells a home that was inhabited in a city that had a wall. Moshav, it has to be that it was moshav, shehukaf ulvasof yishav. When was it inhabited? After it was first encompassed by a wall, and only afterwards people sat in the homes. Velo sheyishev, and not that the city was populated, velevasof ukaf, and only afterwards was surrounded with walls. That's not considered a walled city. Ve'omar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is now going to teach us another halacha. Krach shen basara batlanim. If we have a city, and this city does not have 10 people who are hired to sit down and compose the minyan to ensure that whenever it's necessary there'll be a minyan there. Because Hashem says when you have a place that's a shul, you have a place that there's a set minyan. So Hashem says, well, when it's minyan time, I come. And if they have a minion prepared and they're going to daven, why do you need 9? You need 10 for a minion.
One is going to... These people will daven by themselves?
They ensure that there's always a minion present in shul at the time for the minion.
You're ensuring you only need...
We're ensuring it for God, not for the guy who needs a minion. We're ensuring it because Hashem says, if I come to shul at the time that they usually daven, and they don't have a minion, I get upset. Madu abati ve'enish. Why am I here and they don't have the man that's necessary to make a minion? Hashem says, it's not right. You have a set time, you have a set minion. There should be a minion there at that set time. So people want to ensure that they'd have the minion at the set time. So they hired 10 people. So any respectable city had these 10 people who were paid to take off from work to be their minion time. So if you have a city that doesn't have...
If no one would come to show, they would make a minion.
I didn't understand.
No one would come to shul. They would make him alone.
I heard. I didn't understand.
Okay. To ensure a minyan, you need maximum 9 people.
No.
To make a minyan.
Fine. You want to ensure that there will be made a minyan there. Correct. You don't want to ensure that you have a minyan. You want to ensure that at minyan time, there's a minyan there, whether you show or not. So 10 people were hired, and these 10 people were called the Asara Batlanim, the 10 people who were paid to take off from work to be there at minyan time. So if you don't have that, nidon kikfal, then it's you treat it like a village. And even though this could be the Midtown Manhattan, people are coming from all over. You have tourists every day. But bottom line, you don't have a 10 that you could rely on to be there. We say it's not a big city. Good question.
Other question?
Because yeah.
There's people who are not paid to for anything, but they are reliable people who are there every day.
I don't think that's it, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
And people who go to the same minyan 30 years without the same minyan.
I hear. I don't know. וכך שהיה מוקף בימי יהושע, and if you have a city that was walled in the days of Yoshua, like they say the city of Vilna, I think, there were cities that they say were walled in the days of Yoshua. What?
But if you have a village that has some people like that, that's not going to make it for the city of
Yoshua. I don't know. I hear the point you're saying. How could you discern between a village? Is this the discerning point? No. So, what is? I don't know. Because she'ya mukaf b'mei Yoshua. If you have a city that was walled in the days of Yoshua, aval b'shen lo achshav, even though right now you don't see any walls, doesn't have a wall now, but it was walled in the days of Yoshua, korin b'chamisha asal, they do read on the 15th. Detanya, for we have a brisa that says, Rebbe Elazar Omer, the pasuk says, with regard to the laws of batei arei choma, the walled cities in Israel, the pasuk says, asher lo choma. And that law can be read as no, or that law can be read as belonging to it. And we understand it to mean, even though right now it does not have, but it had back then, so it's still treated like a walled city. The pasuk says, the Jewish people accepted the institution of Purim, mishpacha u mishpacha. Family accepted the institution of Purim. Lamali. Why does the pasuk have to say family accepted it? Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Levi mishpachot kohanim veleviyah. It's coming to teach us that even the families of Kohanim and Leviim, shemevatlim avodatam, they would stop their service in the temple, uvaim lishma mikra megillah, and come to hear the Megillah with the masses. Even though technically they can make their own minyan later when they finish their work in the Beit HaMikdash. No, they stop their work in the Beit HaMikdash to come here at Beit Tzibur with everyone else. Tanya Namiyachi, we have a brisa like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. The brisa says like this, Kohanim ba'avodatam, the Kohanim in their work, Ulviim b'duchanam, and the Leviim on their platforms where they sing, the Yisrael b'mamadan, and the Jews who had their set place where they stood to watch over the sacrifices as representation of the Jewish people. Kulan mevatlin ma'avodatam, they all stop their work, uvein nishma mikam megillah, and they come to hear the reading of the Megillah in Mass. Mikan samchu shel Beit Rebbe, from here the house of Rebbe found support, shemvatlin tamud Torah uvein nishma mikam megillah, that we stop the learning of Torah so that everyone will come hear Megillah in Mass. We don't say, we'll finish our learning and later we'll hear it in our own minyan. No. Everyone gets together to hear Megillah. Amar Rava, pshita li. Rava says, the following things are obvious to me. Avodah mikra Megillah, if you have to balance out whether you'll do the service in the temple right now or you'll hear the Megillah, mikra Megillah di. So reading the Megillah comes first, you'll get to the service of the temple later. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. I know this from the quote we just had from Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, that you stop the service of the temple to go hear Megillah, and then you come back to the service of the temple. Talmud Torah mikra Megillah, mikra Megillah adif. I know if the question is, do I learn now or do I hear the Megillah and then I'll come back to my learning later? So I say, come hear the Megillah now and get back to your learning later. Why? Because the house of Rebbe said we have support for our position that you stop learning Torah in order to hear the Megillah in Mass. Talmud Torah met mitzvah dif. I know if I have a question, should I learn Torah now or deal with a deceased that has no one to bury him? That's called the met mitzvah. So the met mitzvah comes first. Midetanya, because we have a brisa that says like this. Mevatlin Talmud Torah lo tzat amet ulachnasat kala. You stop learning Torah in order to take out the deceased or to greet a kala who's going into her chuppah. If there aren't people there, enough people to make her happy, you go to make her happy. So that's the Tanai quote. From here I see that when it's a question of learning Torah or a meis mitzvah comes first. So all of these, says Rava, is a given. What?
So in the equation, meis mitzvah can be in between Talmud Torah and Megillah.
Oh, so that's going to be the question. Excellent. So far, Rava's told us this. Said, Megillah comes before service of the Beit HaMikdash and before learning Torah. And Meis Mitzvah also comes before learning Torah. Avodam met mitzvah dif mi vilachoto. Meis Mitzvah outweighs doing the service of the Beit HaMikdash, even though after he deals with the met mitzvah, he's going to be defiled. He won't be able to do the Avodam Beit HaMikdash at all. But the Torah tells us vilachoto, and for his sister he's obligated to become defiled, to bury her. And from there we derive that's not only his sister, it's also any human being. If it's the drunk of the town, that a guy came into town yesterday, no one knows him, he went to the bar, he drank, walked around drunk, everyone saw him, he's filthy, he's stinky, no one knows who he is, and then you're traveling on your way to the temple, you find him dead. So the Torah tells us you have an obligation to deal with him. That's kavod amet. What?
Are you quoting something?
Is it okay? I'm quoting a Tosas and Nazir. A Tosas and Nazir says even if it's the Kohen Gadol on his way to do the Avodah and Yom HaKippurim and he meets the drunk, etc., so he has to become Tameh and bury it. So from this Pasuk of Alachoto, we learn that there's a concept of Kvod Amit, that you have to honor the deceased. And even if it's a deceased that we don't know, this teaches us the concept of kavod abrios. Hashem wants us to have a great amount of respect for His creation, the human being. The concept of kavod abrios, it's a halachic concept. So far in the equation, Megillah outweighs Torah, and Megillah outweighs Avodah, and Meis Mitzvah outweighs Torah, and Meis Mitzvah outweighs Avodah. Now, we'll put the two to face off. Met mitzvah umikra megillah mai. What do you do when you have a face-off between these two, reading the Megillah and the Meis Mitzvah? Bata de baya hadal pashta. After he asked it, he answered the question. Rava said met mitzvah adif. Burying this deceased, that comes first. Da mal mal. For the Gemara told us already. Gadol kvod abriyot shedochet lo taseh shebat Torah. Honoring God's creatures, the human being that God created, is so great that sometimes it could even push off a biblical prohibition, and that's derived from Vilachoto. And as such, Rava concludes that first we would bury the deceased, even at the expense of hearing the Megillah in Mass. Amar Rav Yeshua ben...
Can you go back on it?
Sure. What's the question? Where do you want me to start?
My
where?
My Batal.
Batal. So he asked, Meit Mitzah Mikam Megillah Mai. If you have the two facing off, a Meis Mitzvah and reading the Megillah, what do you do? Batal de Baya, after he asked the question, Hadal Pashta, then he came back and answered it, Met Mitzvah Adif, the Meis Mitzvah is more important, he gets preference, the Amal Mal, for the Rabbi taught us, Gadol Kvod Abriyot, Shedochet Lo Taseh Shebat Torah, honoring God's creatures is great for it, even pushes over a biblical prohibition. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, yeah.
How is honoring the kavod abriyot and is burying the dead, and how is biblical prohibition?
How is
honoring the briyot, burying them, I mean, I understand that, but how do you know that to such an extent this doesn't enlighten you?
That we derive from Velachoto. That's a long, complex derivation. Basically, the idea is that the Torah says the coin must become defiled for her. And becoming defiled for her means at the expense of bringing a korban. Pesach means at the expense of doing his service at the temple.
And how do we know that not reading the Megillah is a biblical prohibition?
Who said that's a biblical prohibition? It's a concept. The Torah tells us, you see someone else's lost object, you have to bring it back. But sometimes, let's say you see something which you'd never be caught dead with, and you see it lying on the street with someone's name on it. So then the Torah says you don't have to give it back to him, because sometimes you're a human being also. Your self-dignity can sometimes push off a biblical prohibition. The Torah says when you see someone's lost object, you're prohibited from turning a blind eye. But sometimes if it's beneath your dignity, if it's something that'll shame you, the Torah says, then turn a blind eye. Then you should turn a blind eye. So here the Torah indicates to us that for a person's own dignity, sometimes the Torah says, your own dignity is so important to me, the Torah says, that at the expense of a biblical prohibition, the Torah tells you no. In this case, in this instance, I tell you save face. So obviously we can't apply it in other instances, but we do derive that the Torah was teaching us a concept, that human dignity is very important. This concept of gadol kvod abriyot. So ordinarily we say, yeah, well, it doesn't push off any other biblical prohibition. Meaning if a person's walking in the street and he's wearing a robe, and suddenly he looks down at the tag and he sees that the robe has wool and linen in it, it's shatness. So every second that he's wearing it, he's transgressing a biblical prohibition. That second, he's got to strip it off. He's standing in Midtown Manhattan, and he finds himself without his robe. So being without clothes is a huge lack of dignity, yet the Torah says, "En chokhmah ve'en itzah ve'en tmunah le'neged Hashem." When you're standing opposite God, when it's in transgression of a mitzvah, we say there's no such concept as my own honor. And nonetheless, the Torah gives me one mitzvah, one prohibition, where the Torah tells me, your dignity comes first. The Torah is teaching me that the concept of human dignity is very important. When it's not in direct conflict with the biblical commandment, then we say that human dignity comes first, even at the expense of a rabbinic institution. So here the question is,
there's only one mitzvah that you give up your dignity for.
The fact that there is such a mitzvah that I give up my dignity for, that I don't give up my dignity for, that indicates to me that the Torah values human dignity. Gadol kvod abriyot. Well, the fact that there exists such a mitzvah teaches me this concept. It's not really one, it's two, because it's also the concept that a kohen must become defiled to honor his sister or his parent. Well, it's giving them dignity, it's giving them honor. Kvod abriyot, human dignity, human honor.
What's the shame here? Not being buried?
Well, it's the honor that he's being a part of her burial. He's mourning her passing. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, you'll notice that we're having quote after quote from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Nashim chayavot b'mikra Megillah, women are obligated in the reading of the Megillah. Shafen ayu boto anes, for they too were a part of the miracle. Who did the miracle? Esther. Who was going to be killed out if not for the decree being repealed? Men, women, and child. So everyone was a part of it. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught us another thing. Chayav adam nikot Megillah balayla. Person is obligated to read the Megillah by night, velishnota bayom, and to repeat it by day. Shneemar, for the verse in the 22nd chapter of Tehillim, which is the chapter of Vayeles Hashachar, the goat of the sunrise, which is a reference to Esther. In that verse, Queen Esther, or David HaMelech, and referring to Queen Esther, says, Elokai yekra yomam velo ta'aneh. My God, I call to you by day, you don't answer. Velaila velo dumiyali. And at night I call to you, and you are not silent to me. So we see that we call out by day, we call out by night. We were wailing day and night when the decree of Haman came out. So too our sages instituted, we must read the Megillah by night and by day. Ve'amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi taught us, Purim shechaliot b'Shabbat, if Purim falls out on Shabbos, Perush, Yom Chamisha Asa Libnei Krachim, meaning, when does this happen? As we know, this happens in Yerushalayim, you have Purim HaMshulosh, what we call. So we call it Purim HaMshulosh. The 15th falls out on Shabbos for the walled city. We call it Purim HaMshulosh, the triangular Purim. Why? We'll see in a second. Shechaliot b'Shabbat, if it falls out on Shabbos, Shoalin v'doshin b'inyano shel yom. We ask the questions of the halachos. And we give speeches on Shabbos about the day, about Purim. Titania, for the Braisa teaches us. It says in the Pasuk, Vaydaber Moshe et Moade Adonai el Bnei Israel. What? We gather in shul, and the rabbi gives a lecture about Purim, and we ask questions about Purim, because the Braisa tells us on this Pasuk, Moshe, on the Shabbos that the 15th falls out on. If you live in Jerusalem and Purim falls out on Shabbos for Jerusalem, the 15th falls out on Shabbos. So what we do is, on the 14th, we read the Megillah. On the 15th, we do Kriyas HaTorah, and according to some opinions, we have a big meal. And on the 16th, on Sunday, we do Mishloach Manos, and we give Matan Savyonim, and we get drunk. So you have 3 days of festivities. So the Braisa tells us, Moshe taught the Jewish people the holidays of Hashem. What does that mean? We have on tradition as follows. Moshe tiken lem li Yisrael. Moshe instituted a rabbinic institution in Moshe Rabbeinu's times. He instituted for the Jewish people, sheyu shoalim, that they should question, v'doshin, and give speeches, hilchot Pesach b'Pesach, the laws of Pesach, Pesach time.
Yeah, that's not true. Like,
Let's see.
At what point there is asking the Elachot of Purim on Purim?
We said the 15th falls out on Shabbos.
So?
I didn't understand your question. I'm not following.
The 15th falls out on Shabbat.
Yeah.
So Purim is on. They're reading the Megillah.
So we said, we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. So then, what we do is have a public sermon where the rabbi gives a speech and people ask questions about the laws of Purim.
Why do we push off?
We don't push off everything to Yom Rishon. We read the Megillah on Friday and we read the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. What's bothering you?
What point? You know that before Pesach and Rosh Hashanah, they were in Hawaii, they together in certain city to listen to Yichol, Shabbat Shiva and Shabbat Haggadah.
Okay.
So why would, what does that mean, Pesach, not Pesach?
On Pesach itself, you give speeches on the laws of Pesach. Some people do. When you'll be rabbi of a shul, you will. Ilchot atzeret batzeret, the laws of Shavuos on Shavuos. Ilchot chag, the laws of Sukkos, bechag on Sukkos. Aval Megillah b'Shabbat lo karinan, but we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos itself. My time, what's the reason? I'm a rabbi. Rabbi tells us like this. Hakol chayvin b'mikra Megillah. Every person is obligated in the reading of the Megillah. But not everyone's a master of reading the Megillah. Not everyone knows how to read the Megillah. Zera. The rabbis prohibited reading the Megillah on Shabbos out of a decree, Shema yitelena biyado, lest he take the Megillah in his hand, ve'yelech etzel baki lilmod, and he'll go to a master to learn how to read the Megillah. And he'll come to carrying the Megillah 4 footsteps in Rishus HaRabim. and then he'll have done a biblical transgression. So for fear of that, Chazal forbade reading the Megillah on Shabbos. Na'inu taima de lulav, and that's why our sages forbade shaking lulav on Shabbos. The Torah says on the first day of Sukkot, one must shake his lulav and esrog. Chazal said, if it falls on Shabbos, you don't do it. Na'inu taima de shofar, and that's why the sages forbade blowing shofar if Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, even though the Torah says, blow shofar, even if it's on Shabbos. Chazal said, don't blow shofar if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Chazal made this decree. Chazal had an allusion in the verse. The Torah says, zichron trua, a commemoration of the blowing. So we say that's an indication that there are times when you blow, and there are times when you make commemorations for blowing, but you don't actually blow.
So you make commemorations for
what? Okay?